Welcome to Tend the Flame,
a warm space in the modern world for you to gather firewood, reignite your intuition, and pick up some practical tools for living an inspired life. I'm Kate Brenton, author and teacher. I cultivate this podcast because I believe in the power of sharing our stories and our resources to live our best days. This episode is a conglomeration of creativity and writing. I've titled it The Importance of the Story You Tell, for so many reasons. So sit back. I haven't been here for 2 weeks. One was because it was time to be silent. And then the second week I was traveling and I am back here with you. Thanks for tuning back in. Thank you for sharing the podcast. And since in the Northern Hemisphere, it is the season of spring almost upon us and blossoming and new growth, if you could take the time to click 5 stars on Spotify or wander your way through the Apple reviews, it is such a big help. Sharing this on social media gets this podcast out further and further. And I believe more and more in the power of energetic choices. I believe in the power of the pivot, and I believe in the power of listening. So let's talk about the story that you tell. First of all, I've been revisiting some books from my past and rereading things. The first one that for this moment, I recently started rereading Tosha Silver's It's Not Your Money. It is such a good book. It is very well written. It came out in 2019. It's kind of a book that becomes one of your best friends because of the voice and the tonality with which she writes. It is about money, but it is not about money. It is about the currency of life, and it is about sort of allowing an examination of limitations. And if you've been listening to this podcast, I recently finished Martha Beck's book, The Way of Integrity. And no, this podcast is not turning into specifically a writer's podcast, but books and the arts are becoming incredibly dynamic tools in this time. And instead of using my own words as a good English major and English teacher, because that's what I recently realized, right? Like I was taught the power of the 5-paragraph essay and 3 citation sources. And I was therefore taught the power of, which has good and bad components to it, of finding outside proof from my own opinion to prove the validity of my own opinion. That's what every English major is taught. They're taught to, your opinions are valid in so much that they are grounded and connected to external sources. Fascinating, right? However, the positive of that is that I can make phenomenal connections and when I'm reading. So there was recently a talk about the current balance of the world that we're in right now. And I was really appreciating how someone was talking candidly about the negative, but openly and ardently about the positive. And so whenever we talk about a deficit or a gift, that's always there, right? So that's the positive and negative of being trained as an English major. So in due course, I'm going to give you a quote from Joseph Campbell from The Power of Myth. If you don't know who Joseph Campbell is, I mean, what a gem and a resource for our time. He tracked the hero's journey, and just delving into his works and his world opened up the specificity and the connectivity of stories across human existence. Just an amazing individual. And there's this really famous series where he's being interviewed by Bill Moyers. Depending on your age, you may or may not have ever seen that. If you haven't made time for that in your life, I highly encourage you. If you belong to a library, you should belong to a library. I don't should often, but I do want to preserve places where books and knowledge are free and accessible to everybody. That is not an endorsed thing. It is just that we want to keep having public spaces where we can congregate for knowledge, and libraries are the best things we have right now. So anyway, you could get Campbell's talk with Moyers there. But I've been talking about the divine alchemy of writing, because you're taking formlessness into form. I believe painters do that, potters do that, creators do that, builders do that. You know, there's not a limited space for it, of how it manifests. But I do want to share with you his words today. He talks about when you write a creative work, quote, "You yield yourself and the book talks to you and builds itself. To a certain extent, you become the carrier of something that is given to you from what have been called the muses, or in biblical language, God. This is no fancy. It is a fact. Since the inspiration comes from the unconscious, and since the unconscious minds of the people of any single small society have much in common, what the shaman or seer brings forth is something that is waiting to be brought forth in everyone." End quote. To a certain extent, you become the carrier of something that is given to you from what have been called the muses, or in biblical language, God. That's the definition of inspiration, right? In spiritus, taking in the breath. So why are we talking about this today? A couple of reasons. I have been thinking about the first act of creation and how these ideas of what something will be when we first move towards it is one thing, and what it ends up being is something else. And that is a necessary step in the process. And that perhaps sometimes we hold back our gifts because we don't believe we are in the place of the process that we want to be. But imbued in that hesitation is a valve shutting off. It's a valve shutting off of your own vitality, your own creativity, and your own ability to see fully. So what do I mean? The first book that I wrote, and this is about a metaphor, the first book that I wrote was not the name on the contract. It was a different book. I recently found the notebook that first book was in. And I started writing it in 2015, 9 years ago. And when it came, when the cross point of being given a publishing contract happened, the podcast, which was started on the inspiration and support of a friend, was the most alive way for me to capture stories and for me to share inspiration. And so there was a confluence that the podcast became the book. And just recently, when I started reading Tosha Silver's book, It's Not Your Money, the missing piece of the first book revealed itself. And then again, the concept revealed itself as I'm rereading, thanks to my friend Natalie Kiwi, who's a coach, Carolyn Meese's Sacred Contracts. And Carolyn, stick with me. Carolyn is telling the story about how in her dreams, before she wrote her first big book, which many would say is The Anatomy of the Spirit, she is in her dreams sitting on a tarmac waiting for a plane to take off, and it's stalling, it's going nowhere. And in the dreams, she's told it's not that she's not being attended to, but the plane is waiting for clear skies. So if we take those two pieces together, there may be dreams or pieces that you are holding, whether it's for work or personal evolution or whatever impetus you are using with your breath and your life as you have it right now, that perhaps the larger vision is waiting for clearer skies. However, the most important story is the one that you are telling now. The most important story is the one that you are telling now. So see why this is easier to talk about in books. The first book needed, the first idea for a book needed me to go through my first book before I could be cleared for takeoff to write it. I had to go through the process of being elated, being deflated, feeling just excited that I got to publish, to being, oh, there were so many other things I could have considered, but I did not have the purview, the time, the bandwidth, or the experience to consider them. Inherent in the first book was the initiation process of writing something to completion and birth. You know, it is incredibly hilarious to me that my first book is called Rebirth, and that it looks like a sunrise cover, and that people have asked me if it is about reincarnation, if it is about the rebirthing breath technique, or if I only work with women. And I didn't see any of that in the cover. But what that story was that I had to tell was a threading through, and was a development of my craft. I mean, I could pick that book apart in several places now that I have the muscles and the vision to see past it. And here's the funny thing that's happening. As I can be honest about what I would improve, my appreciation and my value for the book as she stands and who she can serve has skyrocketed. I was having this discussion with my younger son, and we were talking about mistakes, and I was confessing to him a mistake that I had made. And I said, you know, I take responsibility for that. And he goes, oh, don't put that on. Like, in my language, I forget the exact language, but in my language, it sounded like I was putting a burden on myself. And I said to him, oh no, by mommy saying this is mine to correct, I'm free. What story are you telling right now that needs to be rewritten, that perhaps needs some honesty into it, that does not, here's what I'm not wanting to do, no shame, no weight, no coulda, shoulda, woulda, none of that. Just what is the truth of what is working and what is not working? Or if you're an artist or a writer, what is the piece that needs to be created now? What is the thing that you are avoiding? How can you liberate yourself by simply meeting the present moment and telling the only story you can tell right now? Whether you tell that through prepositions and participles, through shades of blue, through wood chips, through herbal teas, what is the thing that needs you now? I'll tell you, for me, there are two books that have been waiting to be mailed out for 4 months. 4 months. 4 months. Does that sound contradictory to what I come on here and talk about? I hope it does, because I made a list. Following my own advice, I was like, what are the things that I am avoiding and I need to do? And it was like, boom, 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 boom. I asked the right question of myself, and I had a heart that wanted to hear the answer. So I was like, okay, let's just do it. Let's tell the story that needs to be told right now. What is the story that I'm telling? Because the story that I'm telling is the most important one. The one I was telling before was that those people didn't really, you know, that woulda, coulda, shoulda voice. They're now sitting, and after I talk to you, my dear friend, I'll stop the record button, then I'll let these words get out and to find their way to you, whether you're listening on Google or Spotify or Apple, whether you're listening in your car, or you're making dinner. I want you to think about what popped into your head of that thing that you haven't done, or the story that you need to tweak, and catch this draft wind. Just do it. Do one small step towards it. And as we prepare for the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere, as we prepare for the next, you know, if you follow astrology, we're heading into eclipse season. And as I record this now, technically the window has opened. Let's just be offloading unnecessary baggage so that when the skies are clear for takeoff, we go. And we can look back at our trajectory with our faults and our fabulous accomplishments, and see that they are equally necessary in our story, and that in meeting the now moment and telling the only story that we could tell and trusting how it fits in that divine fabric, we are adding the chapters, or we are adding the patches of quilt work where we are making the nourishing meals with our thoughts and our actions that lead us onward, that lead us towards, as a phrase we talk about in rebirth, a life of dignity. That there is a structure, there is a skeleton that is proud. And so when someone comes up with a remembrance of a past fault, you can say, yeah. And you hold that as you hold the accomplishments, and you realize that both sides of you were the story that needed to be told. And take that forward with your day. May it lead you in a small inspiration to get you one step closer to remembering the truth of who you are. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Tend the Flame podcast. As always, when you're done, click share with another, and let's get more people around the campfire.